I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? No, seriously, is anybody a little bit stressed? I've noticed, have you? The longer this thing wears off, people's stress level is getting higher. I think that's part of the reason, not all of it, that people are rioting and the people are upset and people are getting mad at each other. I've seen people yell at each other at Walmart. And everybody's anxiety is getting so high. And so I think it's so important for us to find a space. And I don't mean just a physical space, but also a space in time where we gather together and get back around at the feet of Jesus and just be fed spiritually again. Get filled up. Anybody with me? You know, it's important for us not only just to minister to our physical body, but also our spiritual well-being. And so that's one of the reasons that we get together. And so this morning, I want to continue on in a series of entitled The Jesus Prayer, which is another way of saying the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. And many of you know it by heart. Who knows it by heart? It begins with global prayers. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be holy. May your name be respected in the world. And then may your kingdom come. May your will be done. And both of those things on earth as it is in heaven. And so all of those things are wrapped up. What would it look like if God's kingdom reigned? If God reigned as the king, what would it look like if we all dedicated ourselves to seeking and doing the Lord's will? How would it change the world? What would it look like if heaven came on earth? And then there's a transition. The very next phrase is one that is still a communal prayer. It still says we, but it changes the goal. Rather than now just praying for everything globally, it starts to pray about things that we need personally from the Lord. And so I've explained it before, but the Gospel of Matthew and Luke is where you find this prayer. Matthew chapter 6 is where you find the longest version of the Lord's Prayer. And that's written in Greek, but because of where Jesus lived and grew up, it's almost universally accepted that Jesus spoke Aramaic as his primary language. Probably also could read Hebrew and probably could speak Greek as well. But if he was just talking with his disciples who were from Galilee like him, he would have said it in Aramaic and not in the kind that's spoken today, but in the ancient Bible language of Aramaic. And so here's the next phrase. You read it from right to left. Are you ready with me? It says this. It says, Havlan. Say this with me. Havlan, Yomaden, Lachman, Demistan. I don't have my notes. Where's Pastor Tim? Pastor Tim, I have notes up here, but I grabbed the ones from last week. And I really hope these aren't the only ones I printed off, because I'm going to have to do the rest by memory. Okay. Well, we'll see how good the Holy Spirit is in me. But so, what does that mean? Well, from right to left, it says, give to us, Yomaden is day this day, Lachman, Lachma is the word for bread. So that's our bread. And by the way, it's more than just bread. That word means bread, but it's also used euphemistically for anything that we eat. So it can be also food. And even beyond that, just as food is our physical nourishment, it's basically everything that we need in life. And so it can be spiritual food as well. So this is a very simple prayer that's also very deep. And then there's this last word that I have to tell you. This is my best guess on what he might have said, demisteon. And the reason it's my best guess is when you look that word up in the Greek lexicon to say, what does the word daily mean? Now, doesn't that seem like the most simple, basic word in the Bible? And yet, you know what the commentaries say? Nobody knows what this word means. Right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer is the only adjective, by the way, in the Lord's Prayer. And right in the middle of it, he uses this word, give us this day our daily bread. Now, that's not exactly a wrong translation, but when you look it up, nobody knows what it means. Why? Because that word is not used anyplace else in the Bible. And so the next step is, well, let's look to what about secular sources or other writings. And not only that, but that word is not used any place else in any Greek literature. In fact, the church father Origen, who lived in North Africa, who was brilliant and was a translator and spoke Greek as his first language, you know what he said? He said, I think Matthew just made it up. Whatever Jesus said in Aramaic, there was no word for it in Greek. Not exactly. There was something about his description of the bread that we're to pray for that was original. And Matthew says, you know what? We don't have a word. I'm just going to make one up. And the word was epiousion. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But epiousion in itself starts off simple but becomes really complicated. And so how in the world are we supposed to know what it said? Because there's one place in the Bible, and I'm going to have you turn there now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. There's one place that, you want to come here for a second. I can do it without the notes, but maybe I should get the notes just in case. What do you think? And so here is this word that's only used very rarely in the Bible. And one of the places that that phrase or that idea comes out is in Proverbs chapter 30. And so would you read it with me? Proverbs 30, verse 8. And it says this. I have to read it. It says, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only what? My daily bread. And so that word right there is lakma misti, which is my daily bread. So that's where I got the phrase. Otherwise, I might have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I might become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. And so in the midst of this all, if Jesus, and he knew the Proverbs and the Psalms very well, it's very likely even that the phrase that he prays is hearkening back to this simple proverb. The Lord, just give me all I need today is my daily bread. Don't give me poverty or riches. Don't give me too much and don't give me too little. And it's such a profound prayer about finding our sufficiency in the Lord. That, Lord, as long as you give me what I need for today, that'll be enough. I don't need more. I don't covet more than what you want, and I don't want anything less than what you want from me. I just need my daily nourishment. I need my daily sufficiency. I just need you in my life. How many are grateful to have a Lord that we can come to and ask him for the things that are on that are on our hearts and say, Lord, today, I just need you in my life. And so there's a part of this word that has to do with asking him for something that is substantial. Now, here I don't have my notes, and this is probably the part that I'd need them more than ever. But so, Origen said what this word means, and he spoke Greek. He said, we don't have it any place else, but I know what it's compound of is epi and ousion. So epi means over, and ousion comes from the verb to just to be, to exist. It was really a big word when they were figuring out the Trinity. And so he said, so it is kind of something over and above or something that is so essential or so substantial. It's such a part of us. Give us everything that we need to be us. Are you with me? So he was a Greek philosopher. So all this was getting attached from the Greek. When Jerome translated it, here's the word he used, is supersubstantiatum. And so, aren't you glad that Jesus didn't pray that in the prayer? In other words, it's just super substantial or super essential. Give us the things that we need down to the core of our being, that help us to be, that sustain us, that are really the essentials in life. You know, when they first started and they shut down everything that wasn't essential. That's an interesting word, isn't it? So the fire department, the police department, the hospital workers, and we got to find out what things are essential. Anybody surprised by some of the things that they picked? Like, for example, the liquor stores had to stay open, but some of the restaurants couldn't stay open. And I said, who decided that essentialness, right? But and you couldn't open churches at the beginning. And some of us were saying, is that not essential? All I can say is, for me, I've got to discover how essential it really was. Anybody else? When things are taken away from you, we begin to realize that really is important in my life. I really do need to be around people. I really do need fellowship. In the book of Job, he prays and he says it like this. He says, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. That's the Lord. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. More than the thing that I need. It says that my relationship with the Lord is so important that I have learned how to rely on him, and I've learned how to lean on him as somebody that I cannot live without. And so Jesus taught us the power of living with simple needs, of not having extravagant needs that are never satisfied. You know, there are some people in this life that are never satisfied. Some people have millions and billions of dollars and still they're not satisfied. But you can be the richest person on the planet without huge money in your bank account if you've learned the secret of finding our satisfaction in the Lord. How many are with me so far? In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his disciples this. Would you read it with me? He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Isn't it true? Isn't it easy to say, do not worry? Easy to say, not easy to do. Trying to tell a worrier not to worry is like telling the tide not to come in. It's just going to happen, right? But Jesus says, don't worry. Life is more than just those basic, simple things. I don't know about you. I haven't had a problem getting food during the pandemic. I've had to socially distance myself from the refrigerator on purpose because it's hard. I usually pack on a few pounds in the winter and I've just kept them on. It's like a never-ending winter because I still haven't left my house. And I think, wow. So here I am trying to discipline myself. And all day yesterday, I'm trying to find pictures to show, and I'm writing about bread and eating bread and finding bread. And all of a sudden I start, am I going crazy? I can smell it. I go upstairs and guess what? Molly's making homemade bread. It's filling up the whole house. I said, Lord, I can't even escape it no matter where I go. There is the temptation. And just reminded me of when I was a kid, because when I lived in Mexico, we lived next door to a family that always was baking bread. I don't know if they were a bakery, but my mom would send me over down next door to go get some pan dulces or some just some bread or whatever. And it was downstairs and they had a brick oven. And these big old Mexican ladies would grab me and pet my blonde hair. Yes, I used to have hair. Pet my blonde hair and give me big hugs. And I just said, Mom, please don't send me down there anymore. But bread is so essential. From the dawn of time when they figured out how to grind it up, it was the very source of life. And so Jesus is saying, listen, you know what we really need? Just ask him for the simple things. Just ask him for the things that you need for today. We don't need more than that because he is that substance of life. He is the one thing in my life that's absolutely essential. Anybody with me? The second thing is this, the sustenance of life. And so what is the daily bread? What is that thing that we need? It's the thing that sustains us. By the way, Origen of Alexandria was mentioning him before. When he translated this word, and I read a great, he wrote a whole treatise on prayer, and the whole last chapter of it is on the Lord's Prayer. And then when he gets to the part about the daily bread, he said, here's how I translate the word epiousion. It's just this. It's the bread that's needful. He calls it the needful bread. It's the thing that we need more than any. And not just spiritual. It's that thing that causes us to come back to the Lord day after day. And here's the principle of it, and it really harkens back to the Old Testament. Is the principle is that the daily bread is something that we can't store up for tomorrow. You've got to get it today. Anybody here still living on words from the Lord from 10 years ago? We need his daily bread in our life. And so there's this great illustration. And I think the point of the whole story of the manna wasn't just about God miraculously feeding his people. That was part of it. But it was also to teach us all how badly we need him on a daily basis. Because he could have done it where they stored it up. But instead, what does the Bible say? In Exodus 16, it says, "And then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And the people are to go out,'" when? "Each day, and gather enough for that day." Do you remember the story? What happened to it if they tried to keep it for the next day? It spoiled. Except on the day before the Sabbath. He said, on the sixth day, on that day you can gather it for 2 days, because you don't do work like gathering on the Sabbath. And so on the day before the Sabbath, you can gather 2 days. But every other day, it's just every day. Every day. And so Jesus taught us to rely on him each and every day, that we go after it, that we seek it. It's not just, well, I read the Bible once, or I went to church last week. Yeah, but Monday morning, friends, we need his grace in our life again Monday morning, and Tuesday morning, and Wednesday morning. Anybody with me so far? Just about every day starts with me with a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, going down and sitting in front of my computer, which is where my Bible is, and just giving a sign saying, "Good morning, Lord. What is it that you want to talk to me about today?" That's how it begins. We need him as our daily bread, our needful bread, each and every day. You know why this is so powerful, even in a society like Jesus' time? Most of us in this room don't know what it's like to go really hungry. I mean, we've been hungry. Some of you are hungry right now. But I mean real hunger. And there have been a few times in my life where I've gotten to encounter it. One was several years back. We were down in Honduras, and one of the places that Jesus and I like to take people that come on our trips, if we're in the city of San Pedro Sula, the big city, we like to go to a place called Power Chicken. No, is it called something in Spanish? No, it has an American name. Just like we name things in Spanish words, they've got a restaurant called Power Chicken. And it's one of my favorite places. It's a barbecue. And they have barbecued, but not just barbecued, marinated and barbecued steak and chicken. And they have these little pork, marinated pork pieces that they call chicharrones, which is also what we call pork skins. But these are actually pieces of pork and rice. And when we go there, Jesus says, "What do you want, brother?" And I said, "Just get us the usual." And he orders, and it always comes out, no matter how many people there are on the team, it comes out in these giant trays full of food. And so this one time, it was just Jesus and myself and Brother Speed and his wife. I don't know Brother Speed's last name. All the years we went down there, he was an elderly white man who had moved down to Honduras just to do missions work. He wasn't really a preacher per se, but he was a missionary and an evangelist. He led people to the Lord. And he met and married a Honduran woman and adopted her children and had just moved to Honduras. There he was. And he lived in a very small village. He didn't have much, but he was one of our friends when we'd go down there. And this one time he was with us, so we took him to Power Chicken, where we take usually the Americans that come down with us. Oh, by the way, the other part that I love is the plantains. Do you guys know plantains? I'm still surprised how many people don't know what a plantain is. It's in the banana family. It's bigger and green, but it's not sweet. It's like a sweet potato, so to say. And so you slice them up and salt them, like, you eat them like potato chips or like or potato skins. And they have the salty ones, and my favorite are the plátanos dulces, the sweet ones. And you can only get them in Honduras because up here the plantains are big and green and not ripe. But down there, when they let them get really ripe, almost off, you know, almost like when it'd be good for making banana bread. You know what I mean? And then they take those and fry them up and salt them. And when it comes on the plate, it looks like something you scraped out of the bottom of a garbage can. And they're absolutely delicious. I love them. Anyway, so we go to Power Chicken, and we're there. And I tell Jesus, I say, "Get what you want." And he always orders two or three times what we can eat for two reasons. Number one is because he knows I'm paying for it. And number two is we're going to use it and we're going to give it away. But I was sitting next to Brother Speed this one day, and this huge feast came. There was only four of us, and it was enough food for 12. And we prayed, and then I started to dig in because I just loved this stuff. And I was starting to pile my plate, and I look at Brother Speed, and he was just kind of taken back a little bit. And I said, "What's the matter, brother? Aren't you hungry?" He goes, "No." He goes, and he almost had tears in his eyes. He goes, "It's so much food." And I didn't know what he meant. And he said, "I could feed a village on that for a week." And I can't remember a time where I'd been around somebody that was in that daily kind of contact with hunger, where he looked at that meal and thought of it as portions with how many people he could keep alive. And it really impacted me. It really did. It sticks with me to this day. You know, I grew up, was always a missionary kid, so they always taught us to finish our plate. But I still to this day have a hard time wasting food. You can ask my wife and my kids. Seeing a half-eaten plate of food on the counter is, we want to see my head spin around. I just can't stand. I almost never take more than what I need, and I always finish what I took. It's just part of who I am. And I never want to lose that sense that part of what food is the way the Lord supplies my need. It's not just about me exercising my wealth or about me being gluttonous. I hate leftovers. I tell Molly to try not to make too much because I'm going to eat the leftovers for the next week. And so for me, one of the things that helps me is I always remember Brother Speed and being around a brother that really just in his heart, when he looked at food, he thought about how many people he could keep alive with it. Lord, give me this day just what I need. That's what I'm praying for you. Another brother was a brother that I met in Oxford a couple of years ago when I was on a study tour. And he was from Albania. And he was a little older, like I was. Most of them were college kids, but he was about 40-something. He was a married man and a pastor. And he was there on this trip. And we ended up being friends. As the two of the only people with gray hair of any kind. And so we hung out the whole week, and we went to some places. We went up to Stratford-upon-Avon. You know what that is? That's the place where Shakespeare was born. And went to Shakespeare's house. And then we found a little place, a little hole in the wall to have dinner. And went in there, and it was a little hole in the wall. But there was this lady back in the kitchen making like a Thanksgiving feast. And so by the time the plate came out, it was one of those plates you want to take a picture of and send it home to your wife. Actually, he did that to his wife in Albania. "Honey, look what Mike bought us for lunch today." And he was sitting there telling me stories. And he says, "You know, Mike," he goes, "you don't know hunger until you've lived in a place like Albania." And he was telling me stories about when they were under communist rule or in different parts of his growing up years, where his mom and dad would send him to the next town to go stand in the bread line. Have you ever been in a bread line? Me neither. I've heard of them, seen pictures. A bread line where you stand in a line with other people so that you can get the free bread that the government has given out. And then sometimes he'd get to the end of the line and wait there for several hours, and they were all out. So here at 10 years old, he had to walk up over the hill, clear up several miles to the next city, and stand in their bread line. And he says, "Mike, I got to tell you, there's never been a worse feeling than the days that I had to walk all of those miles back home to get back to my mom and dad and tell them that they'd run out of bread and there was nothing to eat that day." I got to tell you, hanging out with people like that will change your attitude towards what it means to be on hard times. Anybody with me? I have never been that kind of hungry, but I know that there is a God that supplies all of my need according to his riches, according to his glory. He gives me everything that I need. There's a Hebrew word in that psalm that we read. The Aramaic means what is fulfilling to me, but the Hebrew word just means it's my allotment for today. It's the bread that is my portion. Like a servant, and everybody gets their special amount. And so Jesus is just praying like that proverb. "Don't give me too much, and don't give me too little. Lord, all I'm asking is just what I need." That's it. Could you imagine if we had that kind of attitude? I used to have a coach that told us, the worst thing you can do is eat a big meal before you play basketball. And here was his motto, a lean hound runs a long race. Lean hound. I've made that one of the mottos of my life. Lord, I just want to be that hound that can run forever and ever and ever because I don't need a lot. And so Jesus is our daily source, not only just for physical food, but also for spiritual food, also for emotional food. He is the one that we come to day after day. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Pastor Molly, for helping me find my notes. I think I said most of them right. Wait, I have to check one. The word is supersubstantialum. Did I get it right? It might have been close. I don't know. Anyway, let me move on. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, it explains the reason behind the manna and why God did it this way, where they had to rely on him. Would you read it with me? He says, and he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that what? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Jesus quoted that very verse when Satan was tempting him, when he was hungry because he had been fasting for many days. And the devil came to him and he says, why don't you just tell the Lord? Can't he turn stones into bread? And Jesus quoted this verse. He says, man does not live by bread alone. By the way, and women if you are one. This is man in the general sense of humankind. Human beings cannot live on mere physical food. We cannot live on bread alone, but also on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You know, there are a lot of things we've discovered that are essential, but have you noticed? There's a reason you're here today, even though it's a little difficult, and there's a reason that you're tuning in online. This is my suspect. God built us not only with the capacity, but with an appetite for spiritual things, with an appetite for a connection with our Creator, with an appetite for a connection with each other. There is a spiritual need that cannot be met just by physical ministry to our own physical bodies. There are certain things that we can't get any other way. I think we've discovered this, by the way, and some of you are here just to break the isolation. You know, I feel so much for those of you that are there, and if you're listening right now, if you're living by yourself, or if it's just you and one other person and you've been isolated by the quarantine, I want to tell you I'm praying for you today. If you know somebody that isn't able to get online even and be a part of an online church service, help them out. Say, well, they don't do computers. Take them one. Get them a tablet or a phone and show them how to use their TV. Well, their TV doesn't get internet. Get it for them. Help them out. One of the worst things that happens, not only is the pandemic something that's a physical threat, and there are still people that are getting sick, right? But this is also something that has attacked people emotionally. It has really done a number on people's mental health. It really is a dangerous thing, not only because of the potential when we get together, but also because of the impact when we stay alone. That's why I'm praying so much for this to be over. But I want to just encourage you, friends, not only tying in here, but find things. You might have to be creative to find new ways, even to exercise. Now, gyms are having a hard time doing it, requiring to wear masks. But one of the most important things for us to do is to find that daily bread in our life. Lord, how can you help me? Because there's something that is physical that we need, but there's also something that is emotional and spiritual. And we really do need the Lord in our life. Anybody say amen? Say amen. The last thing is just this. I want to go back to when that proverb, which was originally Hebrew, but fortunately we have something called the Targum, an Aramaic translation of Proverbs. And that's the only place in the Bible where we get that phrase, daily bread. And in Aramaic, it's lachma misti, which misti means that it's sufficient. So if I was to translate it, Lord, give us the bread that is sufficient. Just give us what we need today. That it's enough. That we're full and satisfied. That it makes us content. Are you with me so far? I would just pick sufficient. Lord, give us today the bread that is sufficient. The bread that we need. And friends, why I'm so convinced that contentment, and if we talked about it before, is so important, is because even before we are able to cure the problem, and we don't yet know when there is going to be a cure for the coronavirus or when it's going to go away. We don't yet know the end of it. And so even before the circumstances change, we can find an attitude and an approach to life that help us to be content even when things are not going our way. This, to me, is the power of a relationship with the Lord, is to be able to find, first of all, that I need God's daily bread, and second of all, to find out that that daily bread is Jesus himself. Jesus even said that in the book of John. He said, I am that manna. I am the bread from heaven. Because anybody partakes in me, they're never going to die. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it says this. Would you read it with me? Just say it out loud today. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. How many are content today? Are you? If you're not, I'm praying for it today. I'm going to pray for it before we're done. If you're out there and you've just been feeling restless and discontent, and that's a lot of people, by the way. All that tension, all that anger, all that boredom. You know what we need more than ever? It's just the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Finding out that Jesus really is enough for us. I like that translation of the Lord's Prayer. Do you know the Lord's Prayer? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. That's the King James. And another way to say it is the Lord is my shepherd, and that's enough. The Lord's my shepherd, and it's all I need. He's all I need. I don't know what important things. Have you been educating yourself? Molly's been reading books and doing important things. Vernon and I have been watching Rockford Files on the Peacock Network. Any Rockford? Oh, my goodness. I'd forgot how much I loved Rockford Files. Why? Oh, he's got this great car that he can do this turn and spin around backwards. Whenever either one of us are feeling a little depressed, we just look at each other and I said, you up for a Rockford? I said, oh yeah. Or we call him Rockfish sometimes. For those of you that don't know, for kids growing up in my generation, there were a few people that were the coolest people, aside from my dad, that I think really taught me how to be a man. One of them was James T. Kirk. Of course, one of them, there's another one. I just forgot about Steve McQueen. Oh, but the other one was the $6 million man. And number three was Jim Rockford, one of the coolest human beings. There was somebody who was just telling me that they said they're a big James Garner fan and have never seen Rockford Files. So in case you don't know, here's why he's so cool. He's a private eye, and he lives in a shabby, broken-down trailer. But it's right on Malibu Beach. I just think that's the coolest thing. In all of the years of Rockford Files, it was the same broken down trailer. And no, they don't let you park a junky trailer right on Malibu Beach. That's expensive territory. But in all of his years, that's all he ever needed. Now, he drove a Firebird, which was a really cool car. But even though it was the sporterized version for the stunts, he dumbed it down and changed the hood and the badging so it looked like one of the cheaper Esprit versions. It really wasn't, but he just wanted to keep it low key. And I could ask Vernon this because he knows the trivia. And you know how much he got paid? Anybody knows? Every time they said, how much do you get paid? And he'd say the same thing, $200 plus expenses. Now I know, okay, that was a lot more back in the 70s. That was really something. But keep in mind, he didn't work every day. And also, if you watch the show, he almost never gets paid. For some reason, he has a soft heart, or they don't pay him, or they rip him off, or something like that. But even still, next person comes in, whether it's a millionaire or somebody poor, he tells them the same thing. What is it? $200 plus expenses. I said, you know what? Why I think that's so cool, and I think he knew that about the character, by the way, that was on purpose, is because there's something incredibly cool about knowing what you're worth and not thinking you're worth more than that. Knowing what you need and not needing much else. Lord, all I need is just, how many meals can I eat today after all? How many beds can I sleep in? I can only sleep in one at a time. How many cars can I drive at the same time? Lord, I'm not asking you to make me poor, but just like that proverb said, I don't want to need more than what I need. Anybody with me so far? So there are these two gospels that are always battling for the hearts and the minds of believers in America. There's one called the prosperity gospel, which is the preachers that say that if you're really serving the Lord and if you're really living by faith, then you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous, and everything's going to go your way. And some people really love that gospel. Some people balk at it. There's other people that are more about a poverty gospel. Well, if you were really spiritual, you'd give it all away to the poor and you just wouldn't have anything. And, you know, you would just live in a hut down at the end of the street. And somewhere in between there, I think there's a Goldilocks gospel. There's a place where we understand, today, Lord, what do I need? What do I need? You've given me what I need. What I need is just my daily bread. What I need is your love and grace in my life. What I need is maybe what I need today is just an encouraging word from the Bible. What do I need today? I just need you. And as long as you're my shepherd, I got everything that I need. Anybody with me so far? Say amen. When Jesus is our source, we have all that we need. Would you read this last scripture with me today? It says this, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Oh, man, I love that. He has blessed me with everything that I need. And because he has, he's given me a mission to make the world a better place. Can I show you a video clip? And this has been around for a little while on YouTube, so I didn't make it up. But believe it or not, this is a life insurance commercial from Thailand. But it's also one of the most encouraging things I've ever seen, even though it's in another language. So the title of this video is just called How to Live a Contented Life. Watch this.
จะได้อะไรถ้าเขาทำแบบนี้ทุกวันเขาจะไม่ได้อะไรเลยไม่ได้รวยขึ้นไม่ได้ออกทีวีไม่มีใครรู้จักไม่ได้มีชื่อเสียงที่มากขึ้นเพราะสิ่งที่เขาได้คือได้แค่ความรู้สึกได้เห็นความสุขได้เข้าใจได้ความรักในสิ่งที่เงินซื้อไม่ได้ ได้โลกที่สวยงามกว่าเดิมในชีวิตคุณอะไรคือสิ่งที่คุณต้องการมากที่สุด
Not beautiful. That breaks me up every time, just watching, especially when that little girl finally can go to school. And, you know, we think that the great happiness in life is going to be found in possessions. We know that's not true. It just gives us more stuff to worry about and fix. We think that that great happiness is going to be in all of the accomplishments or in finding fame or finding importance on the workplace. And, you know, really where it comes from, it's just those daily things.The little things that we can do, just reaching out, brightening somebody's day, the things that we can reach out to just make somebody's life a little easier. It really is powerful to realize how much simplicity God has put in our hands. So here is Jesus, right? King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he says, when you go to pray, just pray like this. Lord, just give me today the bread that's sufficient. Just give me what I need for today.And guess what? Tomorrow I'm going to pray the same thing. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I just pray today in this place. And I lift up anybody right now, Lord, who is just feeling down. It's so easy to happen, Lord, when we're isolated. It's so easy to happen when we see so much negativity on the news. So many people fighting with each other. So much controversy. So much worry.And Lord, sometimes we just need to come back to you and just find our peace once again. Lord, may you just come and restore. I just pray, Lord, for somebody today that's having a hard time finding contentment, that you would just fill up their heart today. Help them to realize all the little blessings around them. Help them to realize how many different big and small ways you have blessed them. You have supplied their need. Lord, may they just experience that blessing and that thankfulness in their heart. And today, friends, while nobody's looking around, if you're here or if you're watching online and you need just to reconcile your life with the Lord, maybe you know something about Him, but it's been a long time since you've walked with Him in faith. If there's something that's not right between you and Him, all it takes is just a heart to turn to Him. And so if that's you,Just pray this with me, and the rest of you can join me in prayer along as well, can we? Say this, Lord Jesus, come into my life today. Be my Lord and my Savior. Be the strength of my life. Fill me up, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. I love all of you so much. It's so great to see some of you and just to know that some of you others are watching. If you ever need anything, just let us know. We're going to be praying for each other. Amen. We're going to get through it how? Together. Together. Lord bless you. Have a great day.